Welcome to Exeter Town Council's planning meeting on today, Monday, the 3rd of July at nearly 6:15 to consider the matters on the agenda. Item number one is apologies for absence. We have those from Councillor Andrew Coleman and Councillor Aurora Bailey. I was going to say, I think we have something more, but other than those, we're all here, I think. We do have some public speakers. We have two, I believe. So I'll just go through the rules regarding public speaking. Representations will be taken ahead of each discussion by councillors on each application. Members of the public wishing to make an oral representation on an application should make themselves known to the clerk and arrival 15 minutes before the meeting begins. That clearly has happened. Representations may be up to 3 minutes. Speakers must begin their representation by stating their name, interest in the application, and whether they are supporting it or objecting to it. They must try and endeavour to repeat themselves or the comments of others who have spoken earlier than them. The chairman, at their absolute discretion, may limit the number of speakers or ask for members of the public wishing to make similar points to choose one speaker to represent, but doesn't apply to today. So we will hear from the speakers and then we will move the item forward so you don't have to sit through all the other stuff before we get there. So our first speaker, I wonder if you have a preference. Oh, Ted.
Yeah, just to say I declare a personal interest in the Southern Louisa Terrace application. I know the applicants and I shall therefore not take part in debate or vote at the end. Can I ask advice, should I leave the room?
No, if you're not voting, it's fine, no. Tim.
Okay, do you have a preferred order in which you're going to speak, or?
I was told that
David would speak first.
Yes, okay, that's one. Okay, David Moll, thank you, you have 3 minutes.
So my name is David Moll, I am the applicant in this case, and I'm obviously speaking in support of it. Alterations are permitted to buildings within a conservation area, but they have to follow strict planning guidelines, and essentially they need to preserve or enhance the character of the area. 7 Louisa Place was a purpose-built design block of flats built in the 60s. It was not built to conservation area guidelines because this did not exist when it was constructed. The conservation area was introduced in 1973, and 7 Louisa Place is subject to the conditions. Nevertheless, the original building has been modified and altered in line with the planning guidelines. The original building was altered when 3 flats were constructed on the eastern flank of the building in the 70s. These 3 flats were further altered when balconies were added to flats 6 and 9 in the 1980s. The final alteration was when a floor was added to the top of the building in the 1990s. To create a further 2 flats, so the original flats are now increased to 11. Individual owners have also made minor modifications to the flats. These include taking out the central section of a window and replacing it with a clear glass main door, and in one case, clear glass side windows. Additionally, metal balustrades have been replaced with clear glass. Our alterations follow on from these. We wish to change a window into an asymmetric French door in clear glass, giving a main door with side windows similar to those in the elsewhere in the building. Replacing the existing concrete slabs with composite decking in a neutral colour at the same level when raising it to the level of the interior floor. And we want to change the existing balustrade to glass in a stainless steel frame. So help set the context for the alterations. I'm now going to show you some photographs of the building. Ron's if you're happy. So the first group are from the western flank of the building, outside Ashton Court Hotel, numbers 5 and 6, Louisa Terrace. The first is from the gate to the garden, and flat 2 lies beneath the red umbrellas you can just about see in underneath flat two. The second is from the path by the boundary of number 5 and 6. And the last one is actually from the boundary. As you can see, the majority of flat two is sheltered by the high hedges or cars. So you cannot see the terrace and you can hardly see the window. The second set are taken from the eastern flank. The first is opposite number 9 on the pavement. The second from the pavement opposite the boundary of number 8. And the third from the boundary itself. Flat 2's window is set back and has limited exposure from these angles. The terrace is exposed, particularly up at the bottom picture, because it is higher than the existing one in terrace 3. However, the third surface cannot be seen. The third set, next one please. The third set are taken from the pavement opposite the entrance where most people view the building and from the entrance itself. The terrace is obscured by the hedge and parked cars. The door will be similar to flat 9, which you can see is on the third floor at the right of the building, and to flat 8, which is on the second floor at the left-hand side of the building. It is no more modern than the patio doors which exist on flat 3, which is the bottom right on the picture. In my opinion, the door and terrace preserve the appearance of the conservation, and the balustrade will be an improvement. Thank you for listening.
Okay, thank you very much. If you require a little bit of extra time at the end, in fairness, you can have that table. That's cool. Thank you very much. So now, Jessica Hill.
Thank you very much. My name is Jessica Hill, and today I will be representing 16 residents at 7 Louisa Terrace, and we are objecting to this planning application. So the removal of an original window and wall to create a modern door and raised decking was submitted in the previous application that was refused by EDC and Town Council. We are objecting on the same grounds. We feel that there will be substantial harm to the appearance of the building and it will ruin the symmetry. The door is not in keeping with any other windows or doors in the building, and no other flat has 3 doors onto their balcony. These will look also substantially larger with glass balustrades. Raised decking will harm the symmetry and is not in keeping with the neighboring flats, as the height will then be substantially different to the flats flanking both sides of this flat. There will also be an impact on the privacy of flat 3. We feel that this will be a substantial harm to the street scene and neighboring buildings, as this ground floor is very visible on the street scene. You will not find raised decking or modern asymmetrical French doors anywhere along Louisa Terrace or the neighboring streets, and this is because it's an area of conservation. For all these reasons above as well, the Freehold Company has not given their permission for this because it's an area of conservation. So all of the above was articulated by EDDC in their report on the previous application, stating the proposed alterations to the windows to provide doors would be an obtrusive feature to the overall design of the building, as it would change the window type and lack symmetry. The enlargement of the terrace would again lack symmetry. The proposed alterations would have a harmful impact on the character and appearance of the building and would be harmful to the conservation area. There would be some harm to the listed buildings adjoining, and the proposals would not preserve the character and appearance of the conservation area. In their refusal report, EDDC said that the only acceptable change would be to alter the balustrades to glass, and the residents here agree with that. So we are situated in an area of conservation, and the Excellent Conservation Area appraisal identifies this area as of significant importance. And actually states on page 25 that the loss of original windows is considered a loss of character and intrusion. And this brings us to the heritage of Louisa Terrace. It was built in the 1840s. It hosts many Georgian listed buildings and many blue plaques. It's home to some of Devon's most famous artists, politicians, and veterans. You will see Louisa Terrace described in guidebooks dating back to the 1800s, and it's actually said that the building with the beacon houses and Louisa Terrace was the beginning of some of the most important improvements here. We also get thousands of tourists on our street over the summer, and that's why we take great care of our building and our gardens. Finally, I'd like to end on precedent, because the neighbouring property to us actually erected raised decking, and this was taken down by the EDC because it's an area of conservation. But I'd just like to conclude by saying that I feel like this loss of heritage would be very unfair on residents who have spent decades living on the street trying to maintain the appearance and the historical significance of our street. Thank you very much for listening to me today.
Thank you very much. So we will now hear this application. Nobody else has any declarations of interest, so we should take on that. I'm going to come on and pass that before. Okay, so we are considering planning application 23-1246 full, flat 2, 7 Louisa Terrace. The proposal, as we've heard, is for proposed windows and doors, revised terrace and guarding. We have no comments from statutory consultees. So they were all consulted again, weren't they? Yeah, that isn't. They weren't assuming that their comments were approved application.
I will check it, but nothing last minute's come through. But yes,
yeah,
they have been consulted.
We do have 14 representations on there now from objectors who object to the proposal of Laura Terrace, saying it's out of keeping, and resulting loss of symmetry to the main building, and it's also inappropriate use of materials for the terrace. This pertains to Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2. New development should be mindful of surrounding building styles and ensure a high level of design, as exemplified in the Avenue's design statement. And it is also pertaining to the rules regarding conservation areas. Although the conservation officer has been consulted, but at this stage has not responded. Though I suspect that may be a timing issue, because I mean they did last time. But we are where we are. We have to proceed without that. So we'll go to representatives of Little and Maud first of all. Councillor Mike Rosser.
Just been reading the delegated report on the previous application, and I think it's pertinent applies to this application. The proposed alterations would have a harmful impact on the character and appearance of the building. And he goes on. So I would object. I'm sorry, but I don't think the change to the facade of this building, it may have been built in the 60s, but it is symmetrical. It mirrors to some extent of the buildings in the street, so I would object.
So you're suggesting that the new design isn't significantly different from the one that was...
Well, there are differences, but if you look at the, I've just been looking on Google,
yeah,
the street view, and it would completely alter, change the symmetry of the building.
Okay, thank you. Councillor David Paul.
Thank you, Chair. I do not think that much has changed from the last time the application came through. I'm very much minded, having read the Conservation Officer's report for the previous application, that they are considered raised. It is unfortunate, I'm sorry about the applicant, that the building was built in 1960 and the conservation area came in later. But that's the rules, and you would be made aware of that when the flat was bought. I'm therefore quite happy to second Councillor Ross's report to object.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Beattie.
Yes, I'll object as well. Basically, very similar grounds to my colleagues here. I also would like it noted, obviously, the impact on privacy of flat number 3, which I don't think it is correct. I think it would be harmful, flat 3. Yes, as my colleagues said, it's a newer building, but it's built in a style. And I think it's a very, it's a style worth preserving, and I think
it's something that we should fight to preserve so there is no more harmful impact on the character and appearance of the area. So I will back my two colleagues and object to this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else have any comments at all? Both of you? Actually, get something else now. And you're not paying a lot. Right, okay. So we do have a proposal and a second for objection. All those in favour? Okay, so that is. And one abstention, I think.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, so yeah, if you wish to yeah, you can sit through the rest of it if you want. I would advise it, but I think I made the same joke last time. Right, so item number two on the agenda. Oh, thank you. Glad you're here again. Item number two on the agenda is to confirm the meeting minutes from the 19th of June. I'm happy to propose anyone there. Is anybody ready to second? And Councillor Dunbar. All those in favour of the meeting minutes are noted. Do we have any other declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations on any of the other applications? No? Okay, feel free to stop me if you think of one. Item number four is urgent business. I guess we've just done that, so there's nothing else, is there?
Sorry, decorations and licensing?
Oh, there's a street trading one at the end, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
I believe that applies to Councillor Cherry Nicholas. Councillor Dumpin, yourself. Yeah, that's fine.
That's what I thought you
were. Duly noted, thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I forgot to. Yeah. Okay, so we move on to tree and advertising consent applications. Planning application 231085 tree. The proposal, so it's 115 St John's Road, the X840H, don't know where the postcode out. Proposal is for an oak tree, the trimming of elements fouling existing an overhead cable, telecom. Tree branches are resting on the cable, distorting, putting pressure on it. The trimming is to be carried out to relieve this pressure on the cable with a 0.5 metre clearance around it. There are no comments from statutory consultees, including
Sadly, sorry Joe, I should have added it to your agenda there. We haven't had the tree officer's report. I have chased that today. They were aware it was on our agenda today, but we still haven't received it. So that will have to be deferred to the next meeting. Sorry about that. I'm assuming it's holiday season, isn't it? They're perhaps a little bit behind.
14, thank you. I would assume that that will be, bearing in mind the reason for it, I can't see. So, Councillor Terry Nicholas, it's in your ward, what do you think?
Well, I think it's probably going to be okay, but if the tree officer hasn't seen them, we don't know if they're telling them. Well, I suppose they're telling the truth, but whether it's necessary or he wants something else done.
Yeah.
So, we usually wait for the tree officer's report. I would say it's quite urgent not now that it interferes with the cable.
We haven't got time to wait, have we?
We can defer it.
It's definitely not ideal, but given we haven't got a report, I think the only alternative is if you are happy to approve it, but subject to the report from the tree officer. But
if we're
okay,
that's fine.
I would be more inclined to wait.
Okay, cool. Right, so we're going to Halston. Planning application 231029, advertising 223 Exeter Road. I'm not reading the postcode.
What's going on?
The applicant is Motor Fuel Group Limited. The proposal for the installation of an internal static totem pole. There are no comments from such consultees and no representations. Do we have any friends? Oh, sorry, you're from Hudson. I must get that in my head. That's a Ted Dunbar.
Yes, thank you, Chair. See, it's not just you, Councillor Nicholas, that gets forgotten. Right, this totem pole, which of course is supposed to be advertising the new EV chargers, which are of course not in yet and are proposed for the back of that site. I had a conversation with Ron's this afternoon because it wasn't at all clear to me whether this was going to be a new totem pole, 7 metres in height, I might add. So I went up to the garage and I asked one or two questions, but as I expected, there was nobody there who could really answer them in any informed manner. But I did an estimate of how tall the current totem is, and I reckon it's about 5 to 5.5 metres, whereas this other one is going to be 7. My own feeling is that, you know, because I mean we've got to make a decision on this being an advertising application. My own feeling is that it should be advertised, but the back to the EV charger, I mean. But it would be better if the garage or the motor fuel group, or a national organisation, can actually for their range of garages which are going to do this, if they could actually design a totem which contained all the information you need, rather than putting up a completely fresh one to do it. So while I'm generally in favour of the advertising of this, and I realise it has to be during normal hours, it has to be illuminated, I would like them to consider a new and perhaps less intrusive way of thinking. It was also pointed out that there is another tent on the other side of the road in the co-op, so it's becoming a bit, but as I commented, a bit Kansas City really. It's Americanisation, extra road, and I can't really approve of that. Anyway, so I would say object at present, but
no, your comments regarding, that's fine. Does anybody else have any comments on this at all? Councillor Ross, I think.
I'd be happy to second that for the same concerns.
Councillor Lucy?
May I just ask Tim about the height of the pole? If you wanted to, again, be symmetrical with the existing one, would that make it seem any way better?
Yeah, it could do. I suppose if the two were put together in a I was going to say artistic way. I don't mean that.
It's the matching.
A matching manner and not obtrusive. I probably wouldn't object.
Is there a range or solution?
I'm sorry. Could I just ask a question? On here it says internal.
Yeah, I wanted that actually.
It's talking about the illumination internally illuminated. It's not got an external light shining on it. It means it's internally illuminated.
Means it's internally illuminated. It's definitely the plans that show the position show it adjacent to that one.
Yeah.
On the plans. Can you pull those up, Ron? The plans just show Cherry where it's... It's definitely not inside, Cherry. It's definitely outside next to that one.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand static, but...
So this is the design of the additional Tatum here, and this gives you the plan. If I close that down, make that a bit smaller.
It doesn't show it in relation to the other one, does it?
No, it's there's no perspective drawing, unfortunately. But this is the existing Tatum here, and that's the pole sign, new pole sign. So if I bring up the, yeah, there it is. So it's, they're proposing to put a new installation here between the two.
My comment about that is, and I don't know whether this is a planning issue, but as a driver, is there too much information in one place that is a distraction to drivers? Is potentially a question I have. If you've got two boards side by side and you're driving along, are you going to be distracted by trying to read the whole blooming laws in one go? But that, I'm not sure that's a planning issue or not, so forgive me.
I think potentially it is. I imagine Highways are consulted.
Yeah, I'm just checking that. We've had no comments from Car Highways.
But that is a planning thing, certainly in terms of, but it would always be Highways that would have to point that out.
Amazing.
So we do have a proposal and a seconder for refusal, and also some constructive comments as to what they might.
So are you saying that you'd prefer the one combined sign, a replacement sign, with all the information on one Tatum?
The height of this is as far as we can tell from the plans, the height of the new one is considerably more than the height.
So you'd like a new sign of the same height, no higher?
Yeah, or a combined sign would be.
One single, but you don't want to revise a replacement sign higher.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to keep it at that height. Got it. Thank you.
I'm just
checking because I will be asked when I remember. So, okay, one sign, same height.
Oh, that's right.
I do think Highways should give a comment. I mean,
we all know.
Sorry?
We all know.
Yeah, so you see somebody staring at this sign up there and driving.
So, all those in favour of rejection? That is unanimous, thank you very much, folks. So we move to planning applications. Planning application 23-13294, 31 Churchill Road, this is Brexington, by the way. A proposed lot conversion, including a rear dormer and two roof windows at the front. There are no comments from such consultees and no representations from the public. This again is out of the Neighbourhood Plan Policy DB2. Councillor Cherry, who's the oracle for all things Brixington this evening?
It's only one. I propose refusing it because number one is the only dorm either side for about two or three blocks. They all look identical except for this opposite side, the flats, there we go.
It's a little bit.
And there isn't, in that particular area, there aren't any dormer windows.
The dorm is around the back.
The door is down. One of them has got a Velux window fitted into the roof, but it's not a dormer, it doesn't protrude. I presume it just lets light in.
That's the back lane.
Mm.
So this is the back service road, and the proposal is for a dormer to be on this roof elevation here.
Okay, and there's no extra building happening in the roof, is there? There's no extra building, they're not building out into the roof or anything, they're just converting.
Yeah, it's, Yeah, it's not. I should have closed on the last lot of plans, sorry.
There you go, everybody. Give us a moment.
Not that one. There we are.
And they proposed to put cladding on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yes,
yeah, yeah,
this is a dormer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not just a velux window.
But there isn't any other house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, does anybody else have any comments at all?
My only concern looking at the street map thing was, does it overlook the back gardens but properties across the way? I can't quite make out what's on the right there and whether it would be intrusive on people's privacy and various bedroom windows and things like that.
That's then the back lane then.
That's a Ross, did you have your hand up?
What people got their garages and that.
Yeah, I mean, just to say, it's round the back, so it's not going to affect the street scene, but I mean, it's a very big door, isn't it? It's not just a... I do think we agreed to, on the second objection. I think it would look pretty awful.
Yes, I agree with both my colleagues on this, and we did actually. I had an extended discussion with Rons the other week about dormers and what were acceptable and what, because there'd been a long-running thing with EDDC where they seemed to be inconsistent compared with our decisions, and Rons had done some work behind the scenes on that. And that dormer, where it stretches right across the roof, seems to be one of the ones that would not be happy with.
Yeah, the only caveat I would... Sorry.
Creation of another floor, yes.
Mm. Right.
The only caveat I was... I agree, Councillor Dumper, that it is a large dormer. The only caveat I would add to that is the planning officers might take a different view because it's around the back... And therefore, it's going to be interesting to see if they think this is harmful to the street scene. But because it is round the back, but there is a service road, so I'm not going to call this one. I'll be honest.
Can I come back? Sorry to prolong this debate. We had one opposite us in Woodville Road several years ago. And that was round the back, and that was huge, but that was allowed.
Yeah,
and
that's
it was
what,
said to be on permitted development.
Yeah, that's the interesting aspect, but I've definitely noticed the ones that are on full street view that's where they definitely draw the line. It will be interesting, I don't know.
Well, if this goes where it seems, this will be a wonderful test. So we do have a proposal and a seconder for refusal or for objection. So all those in favour, all those against, and abstention, because I really don't know. So, and we look forward to seeing what they
Sorry,
say.
Sorry, I missed who the proposer and the seconder was.
Sherry and Mike.
Thank you. Sorry.
In that order. Okay, so we move to Halston. So, planning application 23-12354, 186 Kingfisher Lodge, Exeter Road, to erect a 1.72-metre fence on top of the existing 0.71-metre wall at the front of the property, which they have already done. Could we just get a reminder for everybody on the rules regarding fences and why this is a planning application?
Thanks for that, Joe. Luckily, I have done some research. So why do you need planning permission for a fence? It is because it's fronting a highway. So it's only permitted development on the highway to erect a fence up to 1 metre. Everything above 1 metre that is fronting the highway requires to go through the planning process and be scrutinised. So hence why this one's here.
Thank you very much. Councillor Tendumper. Oh, Mike.
Yes, I went up and had a careful look at this because I think the idea on this is whether any harm is done to the street scene or the neighbourhood or whatever. We've had in the past high fences which have been described as fortress-like and such over-the-top descriptions, but this one is in a very light pine and it really does look high. What the applicants have done in support of their application is they've drawn a comparison between two doors down, which in their photo looks rather similar height. When I went up there, there were two things about the comparison one at 182, and one was that it looked definitely lower than the one that we're considering tonight. It also, of course, is a lot older and has creepers and things over it, so it looks a lot less intrusive and goes in with the general hedges and trees around it. Whereas what's been put in at number 186, I'm afraid, is intrusive, and I will raise an objection on that basis. EB2, etc.
Oh yeah, I didn't read that. So we haven't had any comments or representations from anybody. The other one, which will sometimes, if it's on a corner, will, you would hope, would respond again, would be highways if it's blocking any kind of view, but that's not the case in this one. Does anybody else wish to comment at all? I'm happy to second your considered and thoughtful view from the chair. So we have a proposal and a seconder for objection. All those in favour? Well, that's unanimous. Thank you very much. So we now move to Littleham planning application 23-10-90 full. Mundy's Farm, West Down Lane. This is a detached bungalow, three bedroom detached dwelling with associated parking and a meeting space. There are no comments from such expertise. There are three other comments. The scrubland land is currently used for commercial purposes, which includes storing and using plant. Permission should be sought subject to residential use only. Concern about noise and disturbance and requests. Conditions are proposed regarding construction hours and road surface kept clean.
Those comments are in support.
So these comments are in support, and there's some, I put it ready, but there's some speculation about a previous application for the land being used for something else that hasn't been enforced in the way that it should be. So hopefully when East Devon look at this case, they might revisit that, but that's not for us to consider today. So the policies that this pertains to are EN1, proposals for development within a built-up area boundary will generally be supported. Proposals for development outside this will be permitted when they are in accordance with specific neighbourhood policy within the Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan, or where policy or site-specific or where absent policy or site-specific allocations contained in the East End Local Plan. The other thing is that it is adjacent to a listed building. Oh no, that poster is for it. Oh, this poster has been with this book for years and it's ripped.
It's a new post-it note.
Yeah, oh dear. So this is, because this is adjacent to a Grade 2 listed building, it needs to seek to conserve heritage assets. That's it. Where we go there. Okay. So, Councillor Gaylor this time. Councillor Graham, please.
Thank you, Jeff. couple of things I think concern me about this. One is that the design is adjacent to the old thatch cottage, and the design works in the rear of the cottage. This certainly isn't in keeping. It's a flat roof, or it's going to be a grass. It's a grass flat roof. Access is, again, it's not for me to say as hard as I guess, but it is a very tight access, and some of the objections that were listed or comments written by the neighbours are very valid. It's extremely tight around there, particularly in this car park there. So there will be, I'm sure, difficulties with access to and fro circuit of the building regs. But as you say, none of the immediate neighbours voiced an objection to the actual building itself, but providing it was for residential property exclusively. And the rest of the land was not given over to the commercial enterprise, which is run from there. So, although personally I don't particularly like the development, that's nothing to do with it. If neighbours aren't objecting to having that in their backyard, fair enough. But I think there are obviously issues with access, but that's it.
You're more than welcome to comment on them.
It's just so tight in that little courtyard to get to it.
Yeah,
and even just with domestic traffic, shall we say, the cars and delivery lorries, the vans and that sort of thing. Particularly the business has been run from there. It's extremely tight, but it's obviously very slow.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's a fast moving area. But so that would be a concern of mine if I was a local resident to it.
Does this does EB2 come into this as well in terms of surrounding building style?
Yeah, definitely.
If you have a view that you don't think it fits in with what is, I'm assuming that's the listed building, the one that you refer to.
Yeah.
That's
and the adjacent housings reflect the style, which again are different. The village is long gone, and therefore there's a lot of more modern style building there. So I think I'm on pretty thin ice to object purely on those grounds. But it was my first reaction when I went down and had a look. It certainly isn't in keeping, but it is not in the public view. So therefore, I suspect, as I say, I'm on fairly thin ice on that particular objection.
Yes, you're still within your rights to do so.
My concerns, Chair.
Councillor David Paul.
Thank you, Chair. I tend to agree with the people who support the application, but I think there are implications which we need to make sure East Devon are aware of. There was an application in last year for an open shed that hasn't happened, so that's a technical case for enforcement. And I don't know the history, but is there proper permission for that business to be running the type of business it is running? Because if it's heavy industrial, next to a residential, next to an area which is actually a fireball village, then it's causing problems.
Absolutely. And I think, aside from what we decide tonight, there's no harm in us. Because obviously the comments would have gone up on the East Devon planning side, but there's nothing to say that anybody in enforcement will have looked at them. Well, we can bring that to their attention, can't we?
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, that'd be great. Councillor Mike Gosser.
I'm not very confident in the drawings that have been supplied. Two are labelled west south elevation. They show completely different buildings. There's no elevation for the southeast. No elevation labelled as such. The building design is quite interesting, really. And I looked at the rationale for it, which is that the design is meant to be reminiscent of an agricultural barn. People might quite like to have a look at the elevation. I mean, it's really quite a strange design. I think it The building should say what it is. It shouldn't pretend to be something else. You know, if it's a residential building, that's what the design should say. I can't help thinking of the shed that was actually, we actually agreed to it, providing it wasn't used for residential purposes. Having had a little sort of sneak through the gate this afternoon, I think it may well be being used for residential purposes. It should have been demolished, and also the gates around the front are really ugly. They shouldn't have been put there. So, I think we do need to get on to planning to actually enforce that. There are elements of the design alike, and they deliberately try to keep the roofline very low so it doesn't distract from the roofline of the building next to it. I think that the main reasons for supporting it from the neighbours is because they don't like industrial, the way it's being used at the moment. I don't think that's a reason for agreeing to planning. I would second objection, I think, because the look of it, and also the lack of confidence in, if I can say this off record, but...
It's been recorded.
Yeah,
nothing's off record.
I have suspicions about this building, which, based on the fact how they've gone about things in the past. Those aren't reasons for objection. The reasons for objection are the design of the building, lack of confidence in the drawing, in actually what's being presented to us, because the drawing is obviously not accurate.
Okay, does anybody else have anything you want to say at all? Because we do have a proposer and a seconder for objection. So all those in favour thereof? All those against? So you're voting against objection. Okay. And what's the other one? Abstentions. Okay. Cool. And one abstention. Oh dear. Okay. So we have objected. And if you could just maybe nudge the enforcement people just to have a look at the comments for this, in case they haven't seen them, because it's going to... They're going to be forced to fairly soon anyway, I would think, once this goes to planning officers. Okay, so we're going to move to the addendum for this ward, planning application 230866 full, Silverberg Apartments to Portland Avenue. This is for internal alterations and changes to the rear southwest facade fenestrations, including the creation of dormer balconies. We have some amended plans. The Town Council considered this 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and had no objection. Do we ever have a Conservation Officer's report?
Yeah. I forgot to put on the...
The Town Manager.
The Conservation report is before the amended plans came in.
Right.
So there's a different view.
So, I guess that doesn't stand then, does it? And that's it. I guess it depends.
June, actually, they commented.
Okay, it's quite a comprehensive.
In summary,
report,
the design, yeah.
And they recommend
in Congress. June.
The development works are proposed for internal alterations. The potential harm to the heritage asset as a result of proposed development works has been balanced against. Can we just go down to the bottom of it? In summary, the design of the openings and balconies proposed to the southwest roofscape will introduce incongruous features within the established street scene and are therefore not considered to preserve, enhance, or better reveal the contribution the build of the build form along Salter and Road as a setting made to the adjacent conservation area, and they recommend refusal. So it looks out of place, and it's adjacent to a conservation area, so they recommend refusal. Councillor David Paul.
Thank you, Chair. Last time I said no objection, subject to conservation officer's report. That's not come through. I'm putting my mind on saying no objection.
Councillor Mogrosser.
The conservation report is to do with the previous application.
No, it's not. It's because the.
Oh, you've got a new one.
Oh no, it's
no, it's the
7th
of June. Plans weren't published until the 29th. It's just whether any of the comments in the conservation officer's report are pertinent to the amended plans.
Well, I don't know, really. I looked at it and I read my notes where will the amended plans remedy the concerns from conservation? Anybody's guess, really.
It's the trouble when they
I'm going with the same as David, really. Approved subject to conservation officers and view on the amended plans.
Okay. Graham?
Sorry, Chair. I'm objecting, not.
You're objecting, basically.
I'm objecting, sorry.
Councillor Deasy.
Yeah, similar to previous comments about really down to what the conservation officer says, and we'll go with that, to be perfectly honest. So I presume we object until such time. Is that right?
We can do it that way around, can we?
Tend to say no objection subject to the conservation officer's report generally. Because
if the conservation officer doesn't object and we have objected, then
if we're objecting on the grounds of what the conservation officer is going to say, we
don't know what we're
and we don't know. And to be fair, when we didn't object before,
I suppose really the question you ask yourself is. If the conservation officer is happy with it, are you happy? And if the answer to that, but if, you know, so you could say, but if you wouldn't be happy with it either way, then there'll be an objection overall, wouldn't there? But yeah.
So do you have any other reasons other than the conservation officer's report to object to it, I would say?
I don't.
I would say yes, because the similarity between this and the report and the conclusion from the conservation officer is actually in principle identical to Louise Harris, which we just objected to. It's affecting the overall structure of a defined area in Exmouth, which has got lots of features which you should set. So I thought about this, and I tend to agree where you're coming from. But I wouldn't
wait
to register
that,
use my mic.
No, that's fine.
So, can I just say that what the previous comments, the conservation officer said that it was the design of the openings and the balconies. The balconies were a big factor of them saying that it would be incongruous. And those balconies are still there, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I suspect the conservation officer still isn't going to like it.
I'm not
going
to like it.
Because they haven't mitigated any of her concerns or his concerns from the previous application.
Okay. So we have... Councillor Paul has put forward a proposal for objection. Is anybody willing to second that, bearing in mind what's just been said there?
I'm prepared to second that.
Okay. So bearing in mind if we vote for objection, then there's no caveats about subject to the tree officer's report. But that's fine because they'll take that into consideration when they look at their county anyway. So We have a proposal and a second before objection. All those in favour?
What's the objection?
Of objecting.
Yeah,
all those against? And abstentions? Okay, so we have objected. They will do as they please with that now. Which they will do anyway. Right, okay, thank you very much. We now have moved to Town Ward, where delightfully we have no applications. And Withycombe, Raleigh, planning application 23-12954, a proposed single story extension, external cladding of external house walls, and raising the existing garage roof. We have no comments from statutory consultees and no representations. And this pertains to EB2, which I'll just give you another reminder, and it's broken. The post-it has broken. Tragic news. New development should be mindful of surrounding building styles and ensure a high level of design, as exemplified in the Avenue's design statement of 2005. Hello.
Thank you, Chair. My first application is in consideration of my ward. I think, and I believe both probably uncontroversial. The first one is a rear single story extension, so absolutely nothing to say about that other than I would propose we accept.
Cool. Does anybody else want to say anything on that one, or Councillor Ford?
I'll second that.
Thank you very much. So we have a proposal and a seconder in favour of no objection. All those in favour? Cool. Thank you very much. That is unanimous. Now we now have planning application 23-13300 full, 2 Green Close, the proposed demolition of an existing single-storey structure and construction of a replacement side and rear two-storey extension and alterations. Again, no comments from statutory consultees and no representations. And again, it's Exmouth Neighbourhood Planning Policy EB2. Councillor Woodward.
Yeah, again, now we know which property it is. again, a bit more, it's a two-storey extension replacing a single-storey. When I have a look, I can't see if the neighbours haven't objected to it. I can't see why we as a council would object to it at all, so we'll propose.
Cool.
Second.
Okay, so we've proposed and seconded for no objection. All those in favour?
Can I look at Paul?
Councillor Rosser.
Just bearing in mind the section in the emerging plan concerning demolition of buildings, which they should. Why is there a big demolition emitting carbon?
It's a single story structure on the side of the building. So I don't know if it's is it actually an extension to the building that's there already, or is it a
it's a single story. Structure, and they want to replace it with two-storey. I strongly suspect that they have to demolish the single-storey because of the footings wouldn't be able to take
it. There are ways of avoiding demolishing buildings. There's people who've been looking at the eco design would be aware of it. So,
I personally have an objection. Okay, so we do have a proposal and a second for no objection. All those in favour of no objection? All those against? And that's everybody. Okay, thank you very much. Just a couple of other things. Notification of a street trading application received for National Armed Forces Day. The applicant is Mr. Roy Davis. The location is the Strand. So it's a 20 trading store, and it's from 6 o'clock in the morning to 5:30 at night. So 20 trading stores as part of Armed Forces Day. All traders will be encouraged to separate their waste and dispose of responsibly. The public will use the normal council refuse bins on the site. And the Exmouth Royal Marines Association will remove any excess to the recycling depot. They will leave it looking spick and span, I'm sure. Does anybody have any comments? So this is just for the street trading park. I know there have been one or two questions about sort of security potentially. Bearing in mind that it's an armed forces event, but that's not the concern of this. This is a just, are we okay for there to be 20 trading stalls there? Councillor Paul.
That's a very, very small point. Come to suggest to EPCC that the word encourage is deleted and replaced by will.
Yeah. I have no problem with that. I think, you know, if that's a comment we can make. Definitely.
Cool.
That's a good point. The public will use the normal council refuse bins on site. They do tend to go empty them more often on days like this. Because I know some people have in the past had bought in extra ones, but that's a significant cost for them. So, any other comments at all? No. So that is noted. No items for information. The planning decisions, we got them all correct, except for Pound Lane, where we objected, but these elements have conditionally approved. And 80 Birchwood Road, again, we objected, and East Devon conditionally said, go ahead, I have no problem with this. That concludes tonight's meeting. Thank you very much, everyone.